From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. The numbers are staggering right now. The IHME projections from the University of Washington about COVID-19 say that about 2,000 people will die every day in our country over the next few days. But leaders in this fight say the curves are flattening and that mitigation is working. And the overall projections for the loss of life in this country continue to stay below 100,000. Again, that's according to IHME. So, in California, in the ramp up to the peak, Governor Gavin Newsom says his team has created new supply chains and a strategy for supplies run by the state's Office of Emergency Services. There was a headline-making deal this week for 200 million masks per month for California. It did require funding.
And we're very pleased that we're able to formally submit to the legislature yesterday a request to utilize money from our disaster response emergency operations account that would allow us to invest over $1.4 billion into PPE of all stripes and do so in a way that secure the anxiety that many of us have, not just the healthcare workers in the state of California within the hospital systems and our community clinics and our skilled nursing facilities, adult daycare centers, but also our grocery workers, our DMV workers, the frontline employees walking the streets, doing outreach to the homeless, people knocking on your doors to do wellness checks, to basically provide for the amount of personal protective gear that is needed in totality. And so as a consequence, we made a big, bold bet on a new strategy, and it is bearing fruit.
You will hear many different stories coming out of these noon press conferences. There is another one today by the governor. You will hear it live on CAP Radio in our statewide coverage of it. From yesterday's press conference, there was the announcement of some of the early racial data about COVID-19. The governor saying that Hispanic and Latino Californians account for 30% of positive cases and 29% of deaths, though this is early analysis. It is covering less than 40% of the data available. It did, however, prompt a change in eligibility for testing.
If you go to a hospital, you could be tested for the novel coronavirus, and treatment is compensated in those hospital acute care emergency department settings. That's not the case if you go to a community clinic. Our community clinics do extraordinary work. And many of them are doing this work without the compensation of the federal government or the state government. That's now just changed. We are providing presumptive eligibility, regardless of your immigration status, at our community clinics.
So there are many, many ways that people are watching out for and caring for each other right now. I'm sure you're doing it in your own circle of loved ones and friends. University of the Pacific announced yesterday that it has created a relief grant for students. On the phone with us right now is Dr. Maria Pallavicini. She is the school's interim president. And thanks for joining us, Dr. Pallavicini.
Oh, thank you for asking me.
Can you tell me how you're seeing the impact of COVID-19 among your students, within your student body?
Oh, in so many ways, you know, from the students' perspective, of course, they are all now learning at a distance, learning remotely, which is not what they anticipated coming to Pacific. Many of them are no longer living in the residence halls because we've asked them to leave, to be, ensure that we could take care of their health and safety. I think from the students' perspective, while they are having to learn in a different way, they also are missing their friends, the friends who they learn with, the friends who they experience specific life with. And furthermore, I think part of that is the missing of what are often viewed as traditions. So we will be doing our commencement virtually this year, which is not what any of us anticipated. Our students will have a choice whether they want to do a virtual commencement or a in-place commencement later on down the road. We can't tell them when, or they can participate in both. But from our students' perspective, it's the experience of having to learn differently, of not being with their friends, and, of course, the financial impact that the COVID virus has had on the financial stability, perhaps, of their families and for those that are working on jobs that they may no longer have. So it's a very broad impact. It affects so many aspects of everybody's lives in many different ways.
How is the virtual graduation going to work? What's the involvement of the student? What will they see on screen? What's your vision of that?
So we are just working through all of that, of course. We will try to make it as authentic as a in-place commencement, but of course that's difficult. There will be speakers. The degrees will be awarded or conferred online. Their deans will have speakers and be presenting as well. So we are working with a vendor that is working with a number of different universities to help on virtual commencements to make it be as personal as it can be in a virtual experience. So we are just working through the details right now.
It's such an important landmark, and the creativity in how graduations are happening is remarkable across the country at all school levels. Will your school know if there are confirmed COVID-19 cases or hospitalizations within the student body?
So our process or policy or practice has been that if we do receive word that our students are COVID positive and have been on campus in any way in recent weeks, we do inform the campus community, but it needs to be based on a COVID positive test. Whether students are COVID positive who are no longer on campus and become COVID positive at a later time when they might be in their homes, we may or may not know that. We may or may not get that information from them. We are most concerned about COVID positivity for individuals that are on campus. And while we have closed our residence halls, we still do have about 120, 130 students who are in our residence halls. Some of these are international students who can't go home for a number of reasons. Either they can't fly there or the borders are closed. They might be students who don't have a home to go to, home insecure, basically, or that their home situations are not safe. So we do have a cohort of students that are on campus that we are taking care of.
Your Board of Regents, meanwhile, decided to put together a relief package for students. Would you describe it, and is it for current students or incoming students who are applying now for the fall semester?
Actually, it's for both, and I'm very happy to describe it. We worked quite a bit on it. And so, very briefly, we call it the COVID-19 Relief Grant, and for undergraduates, both prospective students and current students, it's a tuition grant of $1,450, and it will be applied for new students that enroll in Pacific for up to 8 semesters each year. And for students who transfer to Pacific, if they transfer as juniors or as seniors, that will be prorated. Our goal was to recruit new students and to make Pacific be as welcoming a place as we can. And the other goal is to retain our current students and welcome them back to campus, recognizing how challenging it is for our students and their families at this time. For our professional students, we set aside $400,000 for need-based aid, and students will apply for that through their financial aid, through our financial aid office.
What projections and data is your school using to know how to plan for summer school, for example, or whether students would be able to return to campus in the fall? I think everybody has their models and their important sources right now. What's University of the Pacific using?
We use a number of sources, and of course, there's so much uncertainty in all of these sources.
Right.
We look at the projections for when COVID positivity will be declining in various areas of California. But we know that it's very uncertain. So we have made the decision this year for summer school to continue to be all online. And that has been a decision that many universities have done as well. We anticipate that we will have our campus back to normal with face-to-face courses and interactions with faculty in fall, and we're anticipating that that will be the case. So we plan with a degree of caution, not wanting to start back too soon, which is why summer is online, but anticipating that in fall we will be business as usual.
So, Dr. Pallavicini, would you give me an overall message? Actually, I would like you to imagine talking to students and staff right now and give them an overall message about the spirit of continuing school, the challenges that the school faces, and just that cohesiveness that I think a college campus is trying to retain in the midst of this pandemic.
Yes, I think we all have experienced a lot of challenges and pain during this time. We've all adapted to transition to online learning, to transition to learning outside the normal experience that students would expect. But things will return to a state of normal. Whether it's exactly the normal we're all used to, it remains to be seen. But this is the time to look at how one advances one's education, advances one's career, and can be the individuals that will make a difference once one graduates from University of the Pacific or from any university. At University of the Pacific, you know, we're doing our utmost to ensure that the experience that our students want and desire will be there for them. And we've worked very hard to try and do that under some challenging times, but we all recognize that it's challenging for everybody, which is why this COVID-19 relief grant is such a positive when we think about how we can most help students going forward. But my advice to students is to stick with it. Whatever university you're at, and particularly University of the Pacific, we all are there because we have a mission to engage students in advancing the opportunities they want in their life, advancing their goals. And so there is a lot of support out there. Might be in a different format right now, but there is a lot of support because we all believe in our students and future leaders. Hmm.
Thank you so much for making time to talk with us today. Good luck to you and to everybody on campus, not only through this weekend, but in the continuation of education.
Thank you so very much.
That is Dr. Maria Pallavicini. She is interim president at University of the Pacific. Up next, more from campuses across the region. I'm going to talk with leaders of UC Davis, Sac State, Chico State, and the Los Rios Community College System. Students are not on campus, but they are in class. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.